I'm here with Temple Grandin, Professor of Animal Science at Colorado State University. And throughout this conference, producers and exporters have been snapping selfies with Temple and going up and eagerly introducing themselves to her. Professor Grandin has just finished delivering a keynote presentation to the Live Exchange conference, and she's been recounting her recent reverse journey through the Australian cattle supply chain. Temple, I want to start by asking you, you saw the footage in 2011 from the ABC documentary that kicked off a whole wave of reform in the industry. How much improvement have you seen since that original footage that shocked the world?
There's been light years of improvement. And I saw that footage when it first came out, and it was just awful. And I went to two slaughterhouses. I went to two feed yards. I've been to about three cattle stations and then one cattle station where they get the cattle ready to ship out. And some people might say, well, they just took me to the good places. And there may still be some bad places out there, but these good places show me that it is possible in Indonesia to do things correct there with relatively simple equipment that does not cost a fortune. I was pretty much pleased with what I saw at the feed yards. They're roofed feed yards, high rainfall area, concrete floor. And one of the things I want to check the cattle for, and there's cleanliness. And we have to watch really carefully to make sure they don't have leg problems or lameness. I did not see leg problems. I only saw one animal with a leg problem. That's just one animal out of hundreds and hundreds of them. And we need to measure for that to make sure we don't get any problems with that, especially when we switch over to some of the improved cattle. Improved cattle are good, but we just got to make sure we don't get leg problems. Then,
well, I want to start almost going in reverse. At the Australian stations, those things you mentioned, cattle that aren't lame, clean cattle, no signs of heat stress, those are all signs of that the animals are being managed well. And at the Australian stations that you visited, did you see signs of good animal management?
Well, the cattle, for the most part, looked good. I realize it's the driest time of the year, so I did see some thin cattle. But I did not see any cattle where I'm going, well, this is just absolutely awful thin. I lived in the Arizona desert for 10 years. Boy, and we had some awful cattle sometimes on that Arizona desert. The thing that amazed me about the outback was its vastness. It's just so vast. If you fly over the U.S., the commercial plane, you can see crops all over the place. But you can fly for miles in the outback and see nothing. We went on a three-hour flight on a twin-engine Baron straight south and saw just about nothing until we see a cattle station. That's an oasis in the middle of the desert. And this is land that you cannot crop. It'd be like the whole interior of the U.S. is the same area as the outback. We crop that. You cannot crop it. So the only way we can raise food on that land is grazing animals. You know, and looking at sustainability issues, I think, as a culture, we have to raise food off that land.
The animals see that landscape through the back of a truck as they move from station to port. You got the chance to see some animals loaded for export. Were you happy with the management and the state of the animals, the calmness as they were loaded onto the vessels?
Unfortunately, I did not get to see loaded onto a vessel. I got to see that when I was here in the 80s, and I saw it, and it ranged from, you know, really bad to really good. But I saw cattle that were ready to be loaded onto a vessel, and they were in good condition. I also was very pleased they must be using low-stress stockmanship methods because the cattle were calm, and I think it's really important when you're putting animals on ships that the animals are calm. The animals over in Indonesia were calm. They approached people. That's really a good thing. So condition of the animals, I was basically pleased with.
And does the same apply to the animals that you saw in the Indonesian feedlots? It's muggy and tropical up there at this time of year. Were the animals heat stressed at all?
No, they were not. And the simplest way to measure heat stress is when cattle are just in their pens, there should be no open mouth breathing. When cattle start to open their mouth when they're just in their home pens, that's heat stress. I did not see any heat stress, open mouths anywhere that I went. And that's cattle genetics and using the right genetics. And I know they're working on putting Sennepal in and some other breeds. And we just have to make sure that when we do that, that you maintain the heat stress resistance. That's super important.
You have some strong views about the most humane way to slaughter livestock, mainly around the use of captive bolt stun guns. What was the range of slaughter methods you saw in Indonesia, and were they all up to your standard?
Well, the slaughter I saw, they were using a non-penetrating captive bolt, and I saw one plant had a Jarvis pneumatic that was working just fine. It's very important that you have to maintain this equipment. You also have to maintain the air supply that goes along with that. The other plant had a handheld stunner, and all I can say is what I saw was working. Then you get into the whole issue about non-stunned slaughter. And from figures they've given me, and I have to just rely on the figures they've given me, they've greatly increased the amount of use of the captive bolt. And I think that's really a good thing.
Overall on the journey, you touched on it as we started speaking, Temple Grandin. You've already been contacted by animal rights and animal welfare groups saying that what you've been shown on this journey are only the best parts of the supply chain. Are you satisfied that you've seen the whole picture, that what you've seen is a complete story of cattle as they move from Australia to Indonesia?
I'm still concerned about all the little tiny small wet market plants some of these cattle are going to, and it's going to be very difficult to control 200 little plants. That is a concern. The feed yards, that's a much more concentrated, that's a lot easier to audit. My approach to auditing is looking at outcomes. I'm not going to tell them how to build one of these feed yards, but the cattle better be clean, have good feet and legs, be gentle, no heat stress symptoms. That's the way I would judge that. Slaughtering can also be, you know, monitored the same way. And if you are doing non-stun slaughter, there's things you can measure. Cattle vocalization, restraint method, a quick time for the animal to pass out and lose consciousness. But I am somewhat concerned about all these little tiny plants. How do you control that? Because we have some of the same problems with that, even in the U.S., most of our big meat companies, like to have, supply chain that's not so broad they can't control it. I also talked about setting up auditing programs, and there was some very good presentations here on that you have to have a system of internal audits, you have to have third-party audits, and then you're probably going to hear it would have government audits too. You have to measure stuff. You have to measure things like handling. Let's just something as simple as cattle falling down during handling. Because if you don't measure it, it can slowly go back bad on you. Or let's say dirty cattle or lame cattle. You measure how many dirty cattle you have. And then you make sure that you're not getting worse. It's just like speeding out there on the highway. If the police did not measure speeding, can you imagine what speeding on the highway would be like?
And just finally, Temple, and briefly, I gather the wet markets themselves were a bit of a confronting sight for you.
Yes, I went to a very, very disgusting wet market. Now, that's not an animal welfare issue. That's maybe a food safety issue. Though walking around this filthy, disgusting place were some very happy, fat goats that were eating leftover produce.
Well, Temple Grandin, thank you very much for speaking to the Northern Territory Country Hour here at the Live Exchange Conference.
It was really good to be here.